Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're continuing a mature conversation on the subject of sexual purity.
If you're going to stay pure in this world, man, you are going to have to determine that you are going to fight for it, make it a priority. And listen to me, if you're a man here and you're dating, I put the responsibility for purity in the relationship squarely on your shoulders. Initiate purity.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. On yesterday's program, we began an important discussion about purity and God's design for intimacy in marriage. And just as we said yesterday, this may not be appropriate for younger listeners. In today's culture, though, sex is treated as nothing more than a casual occurrence, something that doesn't need to be respected or restricted in any way. But the Bible makes it clear that this intimate engagement is designed for only one relationship, and that's the relationship of a husband and wife. And as Christians trying to navigate through a culture full of temptation and deception, our commitment to purity is no small undertaking. So to help us build a foundation of understanding and conviction for this critical subject, here's Pastor Mark Jobe with the final part of our series on marriage. His message is titled, The Power of Sexual Purity.
He addresses the first of all, the misunderstanding. So the first thing that Paul says is, some people were saying, well, I have permission to do anything. And Paul says, you can do it, but that doesn't mean it's good for you. And oftentimes what happens is the very things that we think we want, as we get into them, they actually begin to master us. And they begin to dominate our lives rather than let Jesus be Lord of our lives. It's like this. Someone says, what I want to do is I just want to have fun. And why can't I go out there and drink a little bit and get a little tipsy? Because it makes me feel good. I want to do that. I feel bad. I've been stressed throughout the week. And can you do that? Yeah, there's no chaperone that's going to stop you. You're not going to be struck dead if you do it. There's nothing that's going to hold you back from doing it. So do you have the power to go out and get tipsy and drunk on the weekends? Yes, you do have the power. Is it beneficial? Well, that's another question. Do you have the power to do it? Yeah, but what happens is the things that we engage in oftentimes begin to master us, and ultimately they start to control us instead of us controlling them. And so what the Apostle Paul says, I have the power to do a lot of things, but not everything that I have the power to do. I have the power to have sex. But just because you can have sex doesn't mean it's beneficial for you. And just because you can have sex doesn't mean that it won't end up mastering you or become an addiction in your life that overcomes you, overtakes you, and leads you into a form of slavery or addiction or bondage in your life. Verse 13, some people were saying, well, food is for the stomach and stomach is for the food. Just like I have sexual organs, they're for sex, so why can't I use them? And he says, food is for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So what Paul goes on to say is that sexuality is not like food. It's not like eating a burger. It's not like having dinner. Sexuality involves your body, your soul, and your spirit. There is no such thing, listen to me well, there is no such thing as casual sex. There is no such thing as meaningless sex. There is no such thing as sex that doesn't affect your soul and doesn't affect your spirit and doesn't affect your body. And someone says, well, I had an affair. It meant nothing to me. Whoa, hold on a second. Every affair means something. Someone goes out and has sex with a person on a weekend and they say, well, you know, it really meant nothing. No. It may seem minimal to you, but I want to guarantee you that it has affected you. Listen to me well. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit inside of you and engage in immorality with it not affecting your spirit and your soul in a very heavy negative way. Your spirit is grieved when you engage in sex outside of marriage. It affects your body, it affects your soul, it affects your mind. There is no such thing as casual sex. Sex was meant, you say, well, I don't know why I have so many urges, because God made you with urges, and part of that urge is great in marriage. It keeps drawing you to your spouse. It keeps pushing you to your spouse. It's meant for intimacy in marriage, but in the confines of a monogamous, committed relationship, God has used that sexual attraction to bring people together for intimacy in their life, for the full expression of what oneness means, but within the confines and perimeters of a committed relationship in which they say, until death do us part. Amen? And so verse 14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us up also. What Paul is saying is that this body will be destroyed, but our body will be resurrected in a glorified body as well one day. The second misunderstanding that Paul addresses is this: isn't sex just a physical act? So if I engage in consensual sex, it doesn't really have a negative spiritual effect, does it? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that question. And he says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I take the member of Christ and unite them to a prostitute? Never. Shall I take the members of Christ and unite them to a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that whoever unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two shall become one. You see, some people had tried to say, well, it's just a physical act. It's not really a big deal. The Apostle Paul is saying, hold on, let's redefine this for a second. Later on in the passage, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? What is God's address here on earth? Your body. That means wherever you go, you take the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit inhabits your body. He dwells within your body. That means whatever you do to your body, you're doing to the temple of God. That means that whatever you drink, smoke, eat, or engage in, you are doing so with something that God has called to be sacred. It's your sacred body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The thing about the Holy Spirit is you can't leave him checked out at the door. You can't say, Holy Spirit, I'm going in the bedroom here. I think I'm going to check you out at the door. No, he goes in there too. You can't say, Holy Spirit, I'm going into this really trashy bar and this is strip joint. You know, I don't think you're going to like it. Could you wait out here for me? No, no, no. The Holy Spirit goes in there with you. Wherever you go, there goes the Holy Spirit. Listen, and what he says is, if you are a believer, Christ is the head. Your body is connected to Christ and you are members of Christ. So whatever you do with your body, you are forcing your member of Christ to participate in whatever you're doing with your body. He says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? People say, oh, no. He says, exactly. That's the reaction that you should have, that you're taking something that belongs to Christ and uniting it with a prostitute. And then he goes on and describes it even further. He uses the word mele in the same word to describe body parts. This word that he uses when he talks about unites is a word in the Greek that means to glue together. Here's what he says. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her, is united with her? For it is said, the two shall become one flesh. You say, well, no, it's just casual sex. It's just a guy that goes down to 47th Street and sees a girl walking down the street, rolls down the window, gives her some money, jumps in the car, she's out of the car in 10 minutes. You say, well, that didn't mean anything. Oh, no, no, sure it means a lot. Because you're taking what's sacred and uniting it together, gluing it together. When you're glued together, then to break it apart is difficult. There are some of you that have stayed in relationships that were bad for you, But the reason you stayed in the relationship is you became sexually active in the relationship, and now you're glued into it. And even though in your head you know this is not a good relationship, there's a false sense of unity, of gluedness, of influence on each other. Even though it may not be healthy, it's like, I can't break out of this, because you have engaged in a false sense of intimacy that has glued you together. And even though you should be apart, it's hard to break up. I've seen people in relationships for years that weren't married, that stayed in bad relationships. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you? Why aren't you breaking up? But part of it is they were sexually involved together, and that glue that brought them together was hard to break them apart. And that's exactly what the Bible talks about. Do you not know that you're united, you're glued together? And let me tell you, you may view it as casual sex, but the Bible says body, soul, and spirit. Some people refer to this as soul ties, where you are influenced by the person that you have a sexual encounter with, even though you don't, you think it's casual, even though you think it's a one-time encounter. There is no such thing as just a casual sex. It's not a physical act. It involves body, soul, and spirit, and therefore it deeply influences you as well.
Well, there's still more to learn in this message on sexual purity, and it's coming up in just a minute here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. If you ever miss the beginning or end of these daily messages, or if you'd prefer to listen to them while you're running errands or out for a walk, know that you can always access Mark's teaching over on our podcast. Just open your favorite podcast app and search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And don't forget to click the subscribe button once you're there, and we also encourage you to leave a comment on our page to let us know what these biblical teachings mean to you. And we love seeing our listeners respond. This is a recent comment which says, "Bold Steps has been such a blessing in my life. Every time I listen, God speaks to my heart. Thank you so much." Well, from all of us at Bold Steps, thank you for listening. We're grateful and glad these teachings are having such an impact. Now, if you're on social media, be sure to connect with us there as well. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Bold Steps Radio. All right, let's get back to our message now for today. It's titled, "The Power of Sexual Purity," and here again, our Bible teacher, Mark Jobe.
Misunderstanding number 3. Why is sex outside of marriage such a big deal to God? Isn't it the same as any other sin, like pride, jealousy, or lying? I mean, it's just like any other sin, isn't it? Well, Paul goes on to describe sin is sin, but there are certain sins that have consequences greater than other sins. Hello. Someone says, well, I lie, he murdered. I mean, we're all sinners. Yeah, but he's got to go to jail for 20 years because of his sin of murder, because there's consequences to certain sins. Are you tracking with me? God forgives all sin. And God has the power to wash away every sin, but there's certain sins that have greater consequences in our lives than others. The Apostle Paul answers this question. Why is sex outside of marriage different than any other sin? He says this: flee from sexual immorality. There's very few sins that the Bible says run away from. You know, you were taught in junior high, if you can lick it, stay and fight. If you can't, run. What the Bible is saying is that sexual sin is so strong that you're a fool to think I'm going to be able to handle this and overcome it, that you just need to run from it. Because how many people have assumed I'm going to be strong and you just get sucked into it and you can't be strong enough? So part of it is wrong. It says flee from sexual immorality. Run from any scenario that's going to open you up. Run from any temptation where you're going to be locked in and you know that this is going to be difficult. Just avoid those situations. Get out of those situations. Run out of those situations. He says all other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You see, other sin is committed outside or in the mind. Sexual sin is committed against your own body. Why your body? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you commit sin against your body, and Obviously, if another person's involved, you're committing sin against their body. So there's a triangle here. You're sinning against your body, you're sinning against their body, and you're sinning against God himself. So the consequences of those sin is greater than other sins, like you told a lie or something, because you are sinning against the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, run. He says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? It's an incredible thing to know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's an incredible thing to know that God considers you sacred. And what you do with your body, you're doing with his temple. And so he says, remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say in the following part of the verse, and he says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. I know there's a movement that says, well, this is my body. My body's my own body. Hey, if you belong to Jesus, your body doesn't belong to you. You've been bought. You say, well, what price was paid? The price of the only begotten Son of God. His blood was shed to buy you, cleanse you, wash you, purchase you. You don't ask, hey, does my body want it? You ask, Lord, this is your temple. What should I do with my temple? If you want to get a perspective on it, next time you're out on a date and you're starting to get tempted, just imagine that Jesus is sitting right next to you. How would you behave? If you can't imagine Jesus, imagine your father. Maybe that'll help too. But he's sitting right next to you right there. How would that affect your behavior? Because what God is saying is, listen, that body that you have, I bought it with my blood. I purchased it. I cleansed you. I washed you. I saved you. I've destined you to give yourself to your spouse when marriage comes, and it will be a representation of my love that I have for you. Your union with your spouse represents the union of Christ with his church. It's a beautiful image of something that's spiritual and big. So do not desecrate what I've given to you. That's why sexual purity is so important to God. And by the way, I want to say this, I want to remind you also that although God's way is harder, it's always best. Some people feel like, well, you know, God's laws are hard and they're just going to take all the happiness and joy out of my life. No. It's not meant to take out of the happiness and joy out of your life. It's meant to make sure that you have a more fulfilling life. If you're going to walk pure, you're going to fight for your purity. If you're going to stay pure in this world, man, you are going to have to determine that you are going to fight for it. Make it a priority. And listen to me, if you're a man here and you're dating, I put the responsibility for purity in the relationship squarely on your shoulders. Initiate purity. Some of you are going into marriage in the negative because you've been sexually active in your dating relationship, and you're going to pay the price for it in the foundation of your marriage. If you're dating right now and you've fallen sexually, you need to go and repent of it. You need to ask forgiveness from one another. You need to consecrate yourself before God again and say, maybe we've fallen in the past, but so help us God, we will maintain purity until we stand before an altar, exchange those rings, and then on the honeymoon, we'll go at it. But we're going to walk in purity until that time. The way of the cross is not an easy way. The Bible says the path is narrow and few are those who find it. The way to destruction is wide and many go down that path. So let me summarize here. I'm summarizing to singles. I'm challenging you to live celibate and proud of it, by the way. If you're in a dating relationship and you're around people of the world, and you've dated for 2 months, they're going to say, and you're not getting any? What's wrong with you? That's the way the world sees it. When you determine I'm going to do things God's way, you will go countercultural. And so as single and celibate, I'm challenging you to reserve your body. And I don't care if you're a single parent or if you've been very active sexually in your past, There's never a wrong time to say, today I start anew in God. And doesn't matter where I've been or how long I've been there, what's happened in my past. Listen, my past doesn't define me. It's my present and my future that I'm choosing to. So if you're single here, I'm challenging you to embrace celibacy and purity in your life. If you're married and you're in a sexless marriage, listen, someone in your marriage needs to repent and get right before God and say, forgive us for the lack of sex that we've had in our marriage. Forgive us, God, that we have not been loving each other the way that God wants us to love. Let us tear down these barriers. Let us give ourselves to one another, and let that be a part of your marriage. So here's in summary. God thought of sex first. It's good. Sex is good, and in fact, our sexuality is good and ordained by God. God designed sex to be enjoyed in the committed relationship of marriage. This relationship means one man, one woman. Separation from parents is part of what happens in this relationship that God has called you to. Being joined together in a public commitment is the ceremony of marriage. Marriage is intended to be for life in the context of God being right in the middle of it. Any sex outside of the limits of marriage is condemned by God as unnatural, damaging, and offensive to Him. Sexual immorality is especially offensive because Christ lives in us and you are taking Him with you when you engage in immorality. You are free to marry or stay single. But if you stay single, you're committing yourself to celibacy. I'm summarizing for you the teaching on sexuality in a nutshell, right here. This is the Word of God. Amen. Yeah, so I know this message is hard for some of you to hear, but I want to pray for you as we close this message out. For some of you that are married and you have neglected this area of sexuality, I'm praying that God would restore, renew intimacy in your marriage with your partners, that bitterness would come down. I'm praying that that spark would arise again and that you would cultivate what God has given you as a gift. But I'm also praying for those of you that are maybe living together and are not married, that there would be a conviction that you would say, this is not God's will. It doesn't matter how long you've been living together or if you have children. If you're not married, then God says sex is not what you should be engaging in. So some of you need to sleep in separate bedrooms, talk to your pastor and say, hey, we need to get married. And some of you that are single, you need to make a decision. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you need to fight for the purity until the day that you get married. And so I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for the people that are listening, those that are under conviction, those that are feeling that your word is really hard to apply, that it would take your power to help them walk in purity. I pray in Jesus' name that your conviction would give way to obedience, and that obedience would give way to a new cycle of purity and strength and the power of God, so that we can recapture sex the way you've called us to engage in it, Father. I pray for that marriage that needs restoration, God. Would you begin to bring sexual healing to that relationship? Would you bring out the enjoyment again in that which has been dull or discontinued? I pray, Father, for the power of purity in those that need to abstain right now until they put a ring on each other's finger. I pray for a new conviction, Father. We know, Lord, that you are the designer of sexuality, that you know how it should function best, and so we trust you. And I ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Mark. And thank you for this message titled The Power of Sexual Purity, the final lesson from our series on marriage called Before and After I Do. If you missed any part of this constructive study, remember you can catch up anytime by visiting boldstepsradio.org. While you're there, you can also request your copy of this month's Bold Steps gift. Written by lifetime marriage counselor and best-selling author Dr. Gary Chapman, it's a book called A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. filled with healing insights on communication and conflict resolution, along with practical tips straight from Scripture, this interactive Bible study will help you cultivate a deeper relationship with your spouse and with God. So if you're looking for a step-by-step guide on how to bulletproof the future of your marriage and build habits that foster a positive change in your relationship, you'll want a copy of Gary Chapman's book, A Couple's Guide to a Growing Marriage. We'll be happy to send you a copy of this transformative guidebook when you make a donation of any amount to support the Bold Steps ministry. Just visit us online at boldstepsradio.org or call us at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And if you'd rather send your donation and request for the book in the mail, you can write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And that brings us to the end of our program. Tomorrow, we're beginning a special Father's Day message and considering the destiny God has called you to. It's a message titled Man of God in the Making. You'll hear it Friday, right here, on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.